It's been a nice visit, short visit. I have to get on a train, late night train, to London. I like traveling by trains. I prefer to cars or airplanes. In Hungary, I generally always travel by train. It's very, very cheap. English rates, or European rates, very inexpensive. To go from Budapest to any other part of the country, first class, reserved. £10 at most. Of course, it's not that much. It's somewhat smaller than England. But yeah, three, four-hour drive, train drive. Yeah, by comparison to last year when I came, by train from Budapest all the way to Scotland. I don't understand how they even make money. I could have flown back and forth half a dozen times for this price that cost. Well, not that much. Planes are so much cheaper than trains. Somehow or another, trains are missing the boat. I don't know how much you're all following or putting together sort of current events that are going on. Because sometimes devotees tend to be a little sheltered from outside world. But there's sort of financial crisis going on globally, amongst other type of crises, but that's one. And the implications of that are going to be felt, are being felt by everyone. But getting very serious here in England. America was first place, but here in England it's becoming, just at the beginning of the year, they announced that they're going to be laying off of probably another 600,000 people in the country, which means if that's what they say January 1st, you can imagine what it's going to be like August 1st, what the reality is going to be. And every day, if you look look online.
We are going to be bankrupt in 10 to 15 years' time.
Maybe before then.
Maybe before that. That's the optimistic, you know.
And it's not just the UK. It's also, it's not just the UK. It's also other parts of the world, because it's an unsustainable lifestyle. Of course, that's nothing new, because Prabhupada said it. But sometimes we tend to think that it's not happening around us. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. There was this book that was written, I don't know when it was written, but anyway, it's called It Can't Happen Here. And there was someone who was predicting actually the Third Reich in Nazi Germany, and that again Nazism would actually be what it is, which means a whole ethnic cleansing of what turned out to be all the Jews in Europe. And they said, no, it can't happen here. It did happen. Just like Churchill was telling everyone in England that there is going to be a Second World War. And what the Prime Minister's name was?
Chamberlain.
So in the last minute, he got off the airplane, having signed a pact with Hitler, that, you know, there would be no further. So we got off the plane. Hitler had already moved into Poland by then. And so his news, you know, the news was peace in our time. It is not going to be war. But Churchill kept telling him there is going to be war. Unless you want to be a German citizen. And as it was. And so it is it's happening and it's going to happen. Prabhupada said that there has to be a third world war, that there has to be economic collapse, because we're living in an artificial world, a lifestyle where people are working in order to what? Well, if you read the newspaper, that's what they're talking about. Buy. That's the problem. People aren't spending enough money. Never mind that they don't have money to spend. They should go into debt and borrow money, because that's what the whole credit card services are. In America, the average person has 12 credit cards. And, you know, they're in debt for decades. They need to pay it off. But consumer society means you keep producing useless things that have got nothing to do with the essentials of life, and keep convincing people that they need to buy them. So they need a new computer every year, they need a new mobile phone every year, everyone's going to have a television in their home, and you've got to upgrade your televisions on a regular basis, and it's square screen, flat screen, round screen, surround sound, wall sound. And that's what people are producing. That's what 95% of the world is producing, those things. And it only works as long as people keep buying. But I mean, you know, your house is only so big, there's only so much stuff you can fit in it. And so sooner or later, that whole system, artificial system, breaks down. And then one thing is you have that all of these people got nothing to do, which is a real problem for any government, because then they start marauding the streets and they start striking. And what do they eat? Where do they get if they don't get paid? What do they eat? And the other problem is that there's a very small minority of the world's population, at least in the developed world, 5%, who are using all kinds of phenomenal farming techniques in order to, artificial farming techniques, in order to feed that other 95%. And but that's also based upon oil supply industry, and it's based upon subsidy. It's based upon government subsidy. So, for instance, the food that you eat doesn't cost what you pay for it; it costs a lot more. But from cigarettes and alcohol tax and tax on industry and all kinds of other taxes, the government subsidizes all that. So Hamsa is a leader of middle class. Who buys a load of milk? What's the liter cost?
80 pence.
80 pence. So it probably costs more like £3. So much costs for a liter of milk, £2.50, £3. But the government subsidizes it. But it only subsidizes it as long as you keep buying. When you stop buying, it doesn't have taxes to subsidize with. Then you stop producing milk, and the price of food just goes sky high through the ceiling. And the fact that people aren't working, and now all of a sudden they have to start buying food that costs 3 times, 4 times as much. And that's before people start hoarding to make money off of food. So then you have a real crisis on your hands. Since Prabhupada said that it would happen, we should sort of count on the fact that it will happen and not hope that it doesn't, but expect that it does. And it does, because the basic foundation of it is that people are living a sinful life. Slaughterhouses, abortion, wars. I mean, you know what's going on. You went up on New Year's Eve, and you know what's going on. There's somehow or another, people got to pay the price for that. Sooner or later, it doesn't just go on and on forever. And if you look historically, you do pay for the price. There's constantly been wars. In between wars, there's been plagues. Then there's been famine and starvation, even here. I don't know how many million Irish people died in the potato famine. So, and we'll speak of other kind of famines that have been there. And all of these things happen because people live a irreligious life. So that's history. You could say that my generation and your generation really had a good post-war. That's 60 years ago. So but there's a lot of outrageous things going on in the world that weren't going on previously. Somehow, someday or another, that all of that sinful activity ripens and bears fruit, and different things happen. And it may just be more than economic collapse. So it may not take 10 years, because in 10 years a lot of this country may be underwater. So it may not be financial collapse that's going to cause problems for it, because the ice cap's also melting. And about 7 years ago, they said that they would melt by 2060. A few years later, they revised it to 2020. Now it's down to 2012. That's only 3 years away. And if the ice cap melts, then the water levels rise 1.5 meters, 2 meters. That makes real problems for a lot of cities and population that are coastal lying. Now, where do they go? What happens to the Netherlands that's already underwater? It's really going to be underwater. And it's already built, most of it is already below sea level. If you ever fly into Amsterdam and you look at the book, it says that the airport's something like 30 meters below sea level. So it's dikes that keep it out. So all those people, you've got all this migration of people moving, you know, from coastal cities inland. That's a phenomenal problem, especially in places like Bangladesh that's already at sea level. You just have a big tide wave and millions of people die because it's just flat. It's just kind of rolling in. And there are many countries like that in the world. So, and there's other effects and results of global warming that take place. What to speak of all these horrible wars that are constantly going on around us. And so we should be prepared psychologically. But even if you're psychologically prepared, that doesn't feed you. So you need to be prepared in very practical ways. 2 meter water level is not going to affect us medical very much. We're pretty well above sea level here, but still, that's the real essential issue that everyone needs to get used to. It's very difficult to accept that. It's like being on drugs. Getting off them is a very difficult thing because you're just addicted. So one of the problems of this modern consumer technological oriented society is that people become very addicted. And especially when you're born into it, you don't know any other way of living. And we just under this illusion that it's going to go on forever, but never in history has it gone on forever. I mean, that's Maya, right? You go and you study history, and it's there. Start whenever you want to start history, whether you want to start it 5,000 years back, or you want to start it with all civilizations that rise and fall. Everyone goes through all kinds of crises. The material world, it's nothing new. Dukkhaliyam, Vashashvatam. And despite that fact, people think that now we're going to go on forever. Why? Since when did things go on forever like that? But it's like such a, it's like cold turkey, so you can't give it up. How can I live without pressing a switch and there's electricity? How can I live any other way? But you have to, people should be ready for that. And that was one of the reasons why Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much farming communities. He wanted to actually ensure that devotees had a facility for living and providing the basic necessities of life. If you can't eat, you're not going to chant Hare Krishna. No one's that advanced. It doesn't matter. And you're not going to be Krishna conscious. So that basic problem of life, eating, that you have to be able to provide. And then then a lot of things can work. Water and food. And if you have to choose between the two, then water. That we got. We got pumps. That's really valuable. Just make sure that you're pumping them regularly, because you can't just drink from a pump that you haven't used for a couple of months, a couple of years. I was reading one article that one man wrote in Argentina. Did I mention this last time I was here? Anyway, I don't know if you know, in Argentina in year 2000, the whole country sort of imploded. There was a financial collapse. 60% of the population went under the poverty level. Just poof. All the savings disappeared. The money became useless. International investors withdrew all the funds. Everything stopped. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you didn't, most of the people don't even know about it. But it happened. And he explained just what happens under those circumstances. How people live. How they eat, how people become just, you know, every family, their main thing is to, you know, the head of the family is somehow or another, he's got to feed his family. And whether he's got to steal or rob or kill, survival of the fittest. And that's what goes on, that's what went on. That's what went on in the cities, and how law and order just really sort of breaks down, because the policemen got to eat also. They're not getting paid either. So there's nothing in it for them to keep law and order. The benefit is that they've already got guns, so they can rob and they can feed themselves. So it was very interesting. And then now things have improved and things have changed and things are but how do you survive? How do you live through that where, you know, you're lock the door, you sleep with a gun, you take care of your family, how you provide for yourself. She's explained living out in the country is good, but it's not a guarantee of anything, especially if you're living alone. Unless there's a community or villages stick together, then you're just a sitting target for marauders who come. And he said that more important than food is water. If you don't have water, food you can do without, or you can scrounge. But water, if you don't have water, it can't exist. That's the basic commodity that has to be there. And there's many of these things, and it's very interesting. And the whole country broke down and everything, and there was a war or something. It went through a very difficult financial crisis for, I don't know, 3 years or something like that. And more or less, the whole infrastructure broke down until gradually they built it back up again, and now things are sort of normal. And they are the meat exporters of South America. That's where a lot of meat comes from. Argentina, they're the ranchers. So that's the indications. We should be prepared. We shouldn't stop preaching, but we should realize that the structure of the world isn't necessarily going to be the way it was. That's not just a Krishna conscious version, but any economist, banker, everyone saying that the world's going through, economically, it's going through a change. No one knows how long it'll take. No one knows how deep down it'll go. No one knows how extensive it is. But it'll be a serious, serious depression. 2 years, 3 years. And if you talk to climatologists, they'll tell you that the climate's changing seriously. And is very seriously. When was the last time? I mean, right now it's raining over here. In the rest of the UK, there's like minus 10, minus 15 degree weather. England doesn't have minus 15 degree weather. In Wales, they can't provide water for the people. The water company doesn't, because all the pumps are all frozen up and the water lines are frozen up. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So climatologists will tell you another thing, and then as far as people killing each other anyway, that you should be up on, that people are really expert at killing each other in all different ways, for all different purposes, generally religious. Now, having said that, but we should remember why we're here, and we're really here to be Krishna conscious. The conditions may change. We may have had a good run at it up to now. Our main problem may have been our minds. We haven't had problems about where to eat. That's been the least of the problems. But still, we're here to be Krishna conscious, and somehow or another we have to really keep that as our real goal and purpose in life. And that should be enough. Never compromise, never let the good times or the bad times compromise the fact that our goal in life is pure devotional service, and we really need to get out of this material world, because it's not going to get better, and it's just going to get worse and worse, and I'm just going. And the ticket's there, this is our ticket. And we need to really capitalize on that and not waste time. And that's what our Bhagavatam verses have been about anyway, about time. Not let time go by. We don't have much time. We've got a lifetime. It may be 10 years, it may be 60 years, whatever it is. We really need to apply ourselves in order to get real results. Spiritual results, and feel that progress of that our hearts are being purified, that we're becoming attached to Krishna, so that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, then we're singing like that: Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita Varitamadhyan Manasura Sina Romancha Kampa Ashuta Angabhaja. Shivering of the body, you're standing on it, and tears coming from the eyes. That's what should happen when we're chanting Hare Krishna. If it's not, asma shahram vidhaya bhatayidam nagrihanana haridham adhyaya. And Shukadeva Goswami says, if you're not, then there's something wrong. Well, I don't want to get into what's wrong. What's wrong, he says, is offenses to the holy name, but we should be doing that. Practicing Krishna consciousness means that, yes, there should be those symptoms of devotional ecstasy, there should be absorption in Krishna, there should be melting of the heart, and we should be becoming attached to Krishna, and because that's where we need to go. And it happens if we practice Krishna consciousness conscientiously with a real determination, especially while the going's good. When it's not, it's, we appreciate, like, you know, Christians, when the Romans were feeding to the lions for sport, they may have, you know, not had the highest spiritual conception, but some of those people were really, really dedicated. You know, they were praying. They were put into those type of conditions. So, interesting to see how strong our Krishna consciousness is if we get into some kind of similar circumstance. You know, when the Americans dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, first place was Nagasaki, second was Hiroshima. And right at ground zero was right below the bomb, there's a church. And there was this nun praying in this church just at the time when they dropped the bomb. They had actually leafleted the city earlier, the Americans, I don't know, a day or two earlier, saying, you better clear out because we're going to blow this place apart. But people didn't go. And, or all the people didn't go. Anyway, this was just right underneath. And that bomb went off, you know, it just flattened everything. And that's like a little toy compared to the types of bombs that they have nowadays. But underneath there was this church, and this church didn't get blown up. And it, you know, there was, I don't know, 150,000 people was killed just at that one explosion. And this nurse lived. You heard about that? And this nurse is alive. The church stood right underneath everything else, flattened. And this nurse is there. And she, not only she lived, but she didn't have any kind of radioactive, because that's 150,000 people died, but then so many other people got all kinds of radioactive burns and poisoning and horrible things. So, you know, even Christianity works, right? And miracles for Christians as well. But you have to have really strong faith. You have to have strong faith. If you have strong faith. So we need to have strong faith, we need to have strong spiritual practices, and we need to go back to Godhead. That's what we came to Krishna consciousness for. And generally we come to the realization that the idea is easier than the reality of becoming a pure devotee. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight. But it happens. And we have to have faith in the fact that it happens. And we have to avoid all the things that get in the way. Avoid our false egos. Avoid. Anyway, you saw I was sending the SMS. That's what I called this year, that the Sankirtan marathon don't get in the way. In fact, I got a pen for the marathon, so it's don't get in the way. And I told you before where I got that saying from. It was once when I was talking to Hari Navananda, and one day on the marathon, he'd done 1,000 long big books. He needed 2 devotees to unpack boxes and bring books to him. And he's just, like you sell small books, he sells sets. So you just go up to people and you just sell them sets of books, because you figure it out in 12 hours, 1,000 big books means 80 maha books. There's only some maha books. 80 maha books an hour, that means like 1.5 a minute. So it's, I mean, you can't talk that fast. You have to be selling them in multiples. And so I asked him, I said, how did you do it? He said, I tried not to get in the way. Which I really thought was about as perfect an answer as a Sankirtan devotee can give, or any devotee can give, is that, you know, Lord Chaitanya's potency, anything can happen. Well, any reason that doesn't happen is because we're in the way. Our false egos, our minds, our so many other things. So it's such a nice statement. He was saying, I just tried not to get in the way. And when we try not to get in the way, then anything can happen. Just like that nun, she wasn't in the way. So then Krishna can empower anything to take place. So more or less that's all Krishna consciousness, and not just Sankirtan, but just overall Krishna consciousness works. And if we don't get in the way, then such amazing things can happen that even we can become pure devotees, because Lord Chaitanya's power is such. But if we get in the way, then that's a problem. Then it becomes an obstruction. So we should try not to get in the way. It's a good philosophy. Hare Krishna.